South Alabama, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Let's rock and roll. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, December the 5th, 2025. It is the TGIF edition of the program, and I am in studio today. Our run at Innisfree came to an end with the Iron Bowl last week, but we're ready to rock and roll this morning. The TGIF edition means a lot of things here on the program, including, of course, that great weekend music to get you ready for the weekend. We've been playing Christmas music, and we will continue playing Christmas music throughout the week, but we'll play that Friday music. Now, there may be a Christmas song that we work in, but you know how it is. On Fridays, we've got, we've got those staples that we go to that are weekend-themed songs to get you ready. I'm Gary Harris, your host. I got Reed Karch manning the controls this morning. Chase Brumfeld overlooking, so hadn't seen Reed in a while. Reed interns at the TV station. Well, I saw him Tuesday. He was in there for just a little bit, but about quit on us at the TV station.
No, I'm still with you, Gary. I ain't leaving you anytime soon.
You know, since I switched over to start doing the news, none of the sports interns want to come in anymore.
Yeah,
Chase,
yeah.
You know how it is. Now I'm a big-time newscaster. So I'm just teasing. But we're ready to go this morning. Got a good show on tap. Already see some phone calls coming in. Let me go ahead and tell you, though, that this hour, the Gary Harris Show, is brought to you by your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Become a member and discover the advantages for yourself. I'm a member, and let me tell you this. Unlike a traditional banking institution, which is taking its profits and paying off its shareholders, Alabama Credit Union, because it's nonprofit, is taking its profits and returning them to you, the member, in the form of lower interest rates on loans and higher dividends. That's something we can all get excited about. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today. I'd hope to get Brett Pritchard on for the Auburn Report, but he is working the Alabama High School Athletic Association Super 7 Championship games over in Birmingham. And never heard back from Brett, so wanted to get his take on the Iron Bowl and the new coach, Alex Gulish. But we'll get him on next week. Adam Amin, though, back with us at 9:30 this morning from Fox Sports. And always enjoy visiting with Adam, one of the best play-by-play broadcasters in the business today, and he's going to be with us this morning ahead of his game this Sunday. He is going to be on the call for Rams, and let's see who he's got. Vikings Commanders, yeah, had Rams Panthers last week, of course, which was a great game. We'll ask him about that, but he's got the Vikings Commanders this week. He'll be with us at 9:30. We'll also talk some NBA with Adam Amin, including LeBron's streak coming to an end, his double-digit streak last night. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But what a way to have it come to an end. He didn't mind it one bit, I promise you that. And also at 10:30, Brody Smoot from Crimson Coverage is going to be talking about recruiting for us, kind of putting a bow on it, Alabama signing class for 2026. And always enjoy visiting with Brody Smoot from Crimson Coverage. That's coming up at 10:30. Also, Kalen DeBoer held his SEC championship game press conference yesterday afternoon. We've got that for you. And if we have an opportunity, we'll play it. I always jinx myself when I say we're going to play some audio, and then we never get to because of all the phone calls. So I don't want to say that for sure. We'll do our best to get it on for you. Some news and notes last night in the NFL. The Lions beat the Cowboys 44-30. All Jahmyr Gibbs does is score touchdowns. He had three more last night, and he tied Barry Sanders for the most touchdowns in the first three seasons in the NFL. That's remarkable, the things that he's doing for the Detroit Lions. For the Cowboys, a really costly loss. They have been playing very, very well, but Detroit needed that one too, and they were playing up in Detroit. Lions get it done 44-30. As we said, LeBron had a streak, and I want to pull it up. I know it was over 1,200 games. 1,297 consecutive games he scored in double figures. And last night, that was broken. He had 8 points with the ball in his hand in the final seconds, tied 120-120 against the Raptors. In fact, we need to pull that. We need to pull that clip up. Pull that clip up. I want to play that with the call on it. But it was 120 to 120, and LeBron had a chance to win the game and get into double figures, but he penetrated into the paint, and the defense collapsed on him, and he did what great players do. He kicked it to the corner. Amachi Murrow was over there, and he drained the three as time expired to give the Lakers the 123 to 120 win. Let me know as soon as you get it up there, Reed. I want to play the audio on that, and we'll credit whoever it is. I'm actually watching it right now on ESPN, but it'll probably be easier to get it up on Twitter. Just Twitter LeBron James, it should come up. But, all right, here we go. Well, who's which broadcast is this from?
This, I just found this from this person on Twitter named Controller Life. So this is it is from the actual game call. It's just Controller CO.
Okay, well, I don't give him credit. It's the NBA and the broadcast, whatever the broadcast is, the Lakers or the. But go ahead and play it. I'll when I hear it, I'll know what it is. Come on back. That's not very good. I can't hear that. That was from the Lakers call. We'll take some time and find a better cut of it. Go to the Lakers Twitter handle. That's what you need to do. Well, we'll get it. We'll play it in the next segment. That's my fault. I should have put you on the spot like that, but I couldn't even hear that. But anyway, LeBron, got the assist on the win, and the Lakers are playing very, very well. And I think they've only got five losses on the season. Also, last night, Alabama women's basketball in that SEC-ACC challenge. And, boy, they played really well last night. And this team is undefeated and got it done last night over a pretty good Clemson team here in Tuscaloosa. The Tide was dominant, 72-48, to go to 9-0 on the season. So those are some stories that are making notes. Of course, Alabama football going to be without LT Overton and now Kelby Collins, two of their defensive linemen for the SEC championship game, which is a setback, and we'll talk more about that. All right, we are going to we're going to take a break. I want to try to find that LeBron audio since I said we were going to run it, and we'll come back. Mary in Atlanta, you hold tight. We'll get to you. Anybody else that wants to call in on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is the number. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Adam Amin at 9:30. Brody Smoot at 10:30. We'll hear from Kalen DeBoer, his press conference yesterday ahead of the SEC championship game, and he was asked by Charlie Potter from Bama Online about the rumored connection to Penn State, and I think he put those rumors to rest. We'll have that audio for you at some point this morning as well. The Gary Harris Show, the TGIF edition. Great weekend music coming up as well. We'll be right back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. The Salvation Army has a $100,000 goal this Christmas season, but they need some help from volunteer bell ringers for their annual Red Kettle Drive. Persons interested in volunteering for a four-hour shift can call 205-632-3684. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's absolutely free. Better yet, download the app for updates. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
Card FWC 26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America NA in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. All rights reserved.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
We got Mary over in the ATL. We're about to get to you, then Steve in Tuscaloosa. So let's go ahead. I want to play the LeBron clip. This is from Spectrum, the Los Angeles Lakers radio network. And here's LeBron assisting on the game-winning field goal.
Dribbling to LeBron. LeBron to Rui for the win. Good! Rui Hachimura hits a jumper at the buzzer, and the Lakers have won the game. 123-120, and Rui hits the jumper.
There you have it. Rui Hachimura makes the three, but it is LeBron assisting on the basket and in the process seeing his remarkable double-digit scoring streak snapped at 1,297 consecutive games. But he will take it as the Lakers get the win, and they're in second place in the West behind only the marvelous Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City's off to a 21-1 start this season. The Lakers are right there at 16-5, but boy, what a win last night for L.A. All right, let's get out on the phone lines, and we're going to lead off with Mary over in Atlanta. Hey, Mary.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. You know, I am so pumped for this weekend. I wish that if it was possible, they'd just let me pad up with the rest of them and join them on the field. I'm so excited for this weekend. I can't wait.
I know, I hear it in your voice, and I bet you could help them. So, are you going to get to go to the game, or are you just going to have to watch it on TV?
I got to work tomorrow.
Okay.
So, as the 4 o'clock hit, ESPN will be playing in my car on the way home, and then I'll turn it on the TV as soon as I get home.
That sounds good. Yep. You won't miss much of it. So.
Yeah. No, tomorrow is definitely not going to be an overtime day for me because I got more important things to do.
Are you worried about the defensive linemen Overton and Collins being out?
No, absolutely not. That's kind of why I said what I said. I said, if I could, I'd pad up and gear up and join them on that field. All you got to do is give me Caden Proctor and Bray Hubbard at my flank, and I'm covered.
I hear you.
If it was possible, I'd get out on that field with them. But no, I'm not nervous. I feel like we're going to be fine. Definitely. One of the things that, I mean, we're improving bit by bit, day by day. I mean, I know they've probably been doing a lot of good things in practice. One of the things that I know we did improve a lot on, we did run the ball a little bit better last week against those people. And one of the keys to victory that I feel like is definitely important for tomorrow is just continue to run the ball well. And we got to just continue to protect our quarterback. Those hits that he took last weekend were ugly, and it kind of made me nervous. Because I thought for 1 second when he took that hit to the head, they should have called targeting on that. They didn't call it. And we just need to protect him, you know, from getting those kind of hits again. So I just want to protect our quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He took some shots in the Iron Bowl. Tough kid. Ty came back from it. But hopefully on Saturday they'll keep him upright and he'll inside there, climate controlled, inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He can get back to throwing that football and Alabama can get it going offensively.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm trying to kind of maintain composure down here because I can be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in half an hour. And I've been trying to maintain composure and keep these Georgia fans in line. That they've been smack talking since last Saturday night. And I've been trying to kind of keep them in their place. I had a picture, but I'll send it to you later. I was going to send it to you anyway. That it's kind of like it has a little thing of Big Al and Uga just kind of standing there, and the bulldog is crying, and then Big Al is like, why are you crying? The game ain't even started yet. So I've just been trying to, you know, keep them in their place with a little snap talk, but I've been trying to keep it kind of low-key and not hurt their feelings.
Well, I know this. They can't get one over on you, that's for sure. No Georgia fan out there can intimidate you. We know that.
Oh, absolutely not. I try to be not too intimidating, but just I try to do my best to keep them in their place.
All right. Well, bring home a victory this weekend, Mary.
Oh, we're going to try. And safe travels coming down here.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. All right. Let's keep it going out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk with Steve right here in T-Town. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Listen, let me go a little different direction.
Okay.
I want to make sure I understand what's going on over in Oxford. P. Golding, was he named head coach or interim head coach?
No, he is. He is the head football coach. He is.
How does that happen?
Well, your head coach that is in place leaves, before the playoff, and you're trying to hold your roster together. You're trying to hold your coaching staff together, and you're trying to set yourself up to have a chance to do something in the playoff. And they felt like Keith Carter, the AD, and the administration felt like that it was best to stay with someone on that staff. He's done a good job as the defensive coordinator there. And they decided to give him the job. Now, I do think he's done a nice job as a DC. I don't have any clue how he'll do as a head coach. I don't think he's ever been a head coach at any level. And, it's an interesting decision. But I think they felt like that's what they needed to do. So that's the direction that they went. I don't know why they didn't, as soon as they had an inkling that Lane would, might leave, not maybe have a head coaching search. But again, I think I think they're in a tough spot in that, again, this is Ole Miss. They've never even been to the SEC championship game. They're not going this year. But this is what they've worked for, to be in this position. And you're finally in this position, and there's a chance the rug's going to get jerked out from under you. So I think you look at maybe it's short-term thinking, but they're looking at what they can do to give themselves the best opportunity to finish this season off. And they felt like that was to promote Pete Golding.
Well, with your contacts over there, and Mississippi is dear to my heart. My whole family is from Mississippi, all over. And I like to keep up with it. But what's the temperature over there with the fan base, with the surrounding area about Pete Golding?
The temperature is they're just hot. They're just so frustrated with Lane. I mean, I think the fan base, I think the feeling was, rightfully so, that Ole Miss did absolutely everything that it could do. And in return, Lane did a good job. I mean, they're 11-1. They're going to the college football playoff. I mean, never, first time to ever win 11 games in the history of the program. So he paid him off in that regard. But when he got there, I mean, he was literally treated like a king, and allowed to run the football program without any interference, and did not, was not asked to do a lot of the things that most head coaches are asked to do as far as appearances and as far as visiting with alumni groups and all of those type things. He didn't have to do very much of that. He pretty much did what he wanted to do, and in the summer he took off to South Florida and spent some time down there. And so I think they felt like, there's nothing else that we could have done. So I think there's some frustration there with him leaving. As far as Pete Golding is concerned, I think there is, I'll call it cautious optimism. I think that, they feel like that he, he loves Ole Miss. He played at Delta State, which is not that far away. Is committed to the program, and they're keeping most of the coaches that were on that staff with him. So how it is when you name a head coach, regardless, everybody tries to get excited. So I think the short-term vibes from the Ole Miss fans is this is what gives us the best chance to win now, and hopefully, he's ready for it. I mean, I don't know that he is. I don't know that anybody really knows that he is. But they're trying to stay positive.
Well, my comment came off a little rough. I don't have anything against Pete Golding.
Oh, I know you don't. I have my doubts about the head coach.
I'd like to see him have the success. He did a good job over here as defensive coordinator, won a national championship. So I hope nothing for the best for the guy. I was just a little surprised that they just went ahead and hung the head coach and not interim like everybody else does. Right. And I just wanted to make sure I heard that right.
No, he's the head coach, and you know, his overall record as a head coach is 0-0. So the first game he ever coaches as a head coach is going to be in a college football playoff, man. So, and now listen, if they go in there and lose that game, I'm sure right off the bat people are going to be saying, "Oh no!" But the dice. You know, Lane put them in a tough spot, and they're trying to do the best they can with it, Steve.
All right. Well, Gary, hey, I appreciate your time, brother. Have a great week.
You betcha, man. Thank you. And listen, I think Pete Golding's a good football coach. If you listen to my show, you know I didn't bash him the way that some did when he was here at Alabama. But I don't know that, you know, again, does he have the organizational skills? Can he be the CEO that you have to be in this day and age to be a head coach? I don't know about that. I mean, I think he can coach football. But there's so much that goes with it, but we'll find out. Hey, 927 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. Don't let the holidays deter you from getting in there and working out. Even if you're not eating your best right now, if you're partaking in all the festive foods and going to parties, that's okay. You can still get your conditioning in. You can still get your workouts in. And then, on, you know, in January, when you say, hey, I'm going to crack down on the diet, you'll have a head start. Get by and see them at the YMCA, 2300 13th Street. Jeff Knox, the CEO, and his staff do an incredible job. I've been a member for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join. That's the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. We're going to come back with Adam Amin from Fox Sports next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is headed to Atlanta again and play that song.
It's the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128 gigabytes, $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly and there it is.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Show. It's time to visit with Adam Amin, play-by-play for Fox Sports. He'll be on the call this Sunday at noon for Commanders at Vikings, along with Drew Brees and Christina Pink. And we're going to talk NFL and NBA with Adam this morning. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
Great to have you. Before we look ahead and talk about last night and get into the NBA and LeBron's streak coming to an end in spectacular fashion, your game last week, first of all, last week was unbelievable. It started on Thanksgiving with the Packers winning in Detroit, the Cowboys knocking off the Chiefs, the Bengals winning at the Ravens, and it just carried on through the weekend with upsets. That's why we love the NFL. But you might have had, well, I think you did have the biggest upset of the week. I mean, you got Panthers as a double-digit home underdog against the Rams team that you could argue was playing the best football of anybody in the NFL. And the Panthers won that game, 31-28. And you were on the call. It was exciting. I watched it. You and Drew Brees did a great job. And Bryce Young stepped up. Two touchdown passes on fourth down, three total, no turnovers. And Stafford threw two picks, had a fumble. And the Panthers had a huge win.
Very impressive, too, because I think they're the only team with to win as a double-digit underdog this year, and they've done it twice. They beat Green Bay at Lambeau a few weeks ago. I was on the call for that. Got to see that and see how they were able to dispossess a team. I've called their game. You know, they had a win against Dallas earlier this year where they went toe-to-toe with a really, really good offensive team. And you know, the Cowboys, as we know, are one of the best, if not the best offensive team, at least scoring-wise, in the NFL. And then what we saw last week, you know, to be a double-digit underdog and to force Matthew Stafford to end throwing an interception and in about 2.5 months to force him into two quick ones relatively early, and to hold on and to make, you know, non-conservative play calls and to execute those play calls, and for Bryce to be as sharp as he was and to, you know, really let it rip a little bit. You know, I thought Bryce played as good as I've seen him, and we've seen him play well a couple times this year. I think that's as well as I've ever seen Bryce play, and I know he had a big game against Atlanta, but that's not as good of an Atlanta team. This is a legitimate Rams defense. You know, they've been the number one scoring defense going into that game. They're only giving up like 16, 17 points a game. And for him to be as solid as he was, I thought his mechanics were good. I thought his footwork was good. The offensive line played great for Carolina, which was obviously a big factor in that game. And listen, they're right there. And after the game last night, you know, they're in front of the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys are 6-6-1. Panthers are 7-6. Panthers have the tie break with the head-to-head win over Dallas, and you know that obviously puts them into tough shape. I think the Cowboys are really big Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans going forward because they need Tampa Bay to beat Carolina a couple of times and obviously take care of their own business so that they're a little bit, you know, further on in the hunt. But there's a lot of teams in the NFC right now, Green Bay, San Francisco. You know, these are teams that, you know, Philadelphia as well. You know, these are teams that are all right around, you know, 8-9 wins, and you would imagine that they're going to be up closer to 9-10, maybe 11 wins, and that's going to take that much to get into the postseason for the NFC side this year. So a lot of work to do, but it's those types of games, we don't really think of them in the grander prism until you get a chance to kind of look at the overall picture. But those are the types of games, the week 6 win that the Panthers get over the Cowboys, that goes a long way into helping determine what's going to happen at the end of the season. So, you know, these are every game matters. Every game has weight, even if you don't see it immediately, you know, just because it's week 3 or week 6 or week 9. Like, these games have huge impact as we get later and later into the year.
You've seen Bryce a lot, as you said. And so I want to ask you, as you watch this Carolina Panthers offense mature some, they've got a running game, they're developing some weapons. Consistency. When I read all the Charlotte beat writers, their stories about Bryce is do it every week. You know, is he at a point where you think he can, and this offense overall can start performing at a high level every week and not have the dips? I mean, as you said, he's played very well at times, and there's been other games where he's not played well and that offense has not played well. Are they at a point now to finish out this season, you think, where they can put some consistent offensive performances together week in and week out?
I think they are, just because, listen, they've invested a lot of money in that offense, particularly the line, and I know they've had injuries on the offensive line all year. But they've invested money in that line, and they've invested draft picks. You know, to go get Xavier Leggett, who wasn't much of a factor last week, but has been big at times this year. And he's a big-bodied receiver. This Jalen Coker kid is a great signing. And then they spent a first-round, a top-10 pick, on a receiver in Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona, who's had some really productive moments this year. They've invested, you know, draft capital and money in that side of the ball. You know, to go sign Rico Dowdle and to go get him and to have Chuba Hubbard extended, and like, they have weapons and they have guys that have some continuity together. And I think it's up to Bryce. You know, the mechanics of it all is really important with Bryce Young. I think, you know, how he operates from the pocket, how he moves around in the pocket, where his feet are. You know, I think he gets a little bit loose at times with his mechanics. And part of it is, listen, he's got to make up for the lack of size. He's a little bit of a shorter quarterback, as we know. And, you know, I was standing next to Drew Brees, you know, while we were in the booth last week, and Drew was talking about, you know, some of the mechanical stuff and what the disadvantages and some advantages are of being a shorter quarterback. And you know, he said your feet have to be great at all times. And I think Bryce has kind of gotten away from some of that just to try to make up for some of the lack of size, try to get around, get better, you know, vision, get better look at passing lanes and things like that. But if he can be more consistent with his mechanics, I think that kind of sets the tone for everything else he wants to do, because he has the skill set, and I think he's got talent around him on that offensive side of the ball, the way Carolina's invested in it, for him to play well and to play consistently well.
Adam Amin with us from Fox Sports. He's on the call for Vikings Commanders this weekend. Chicago Bears, of course, you're based in Chicago, as we've talked about. That's your home. You do Bears preseason games. You do Bulls games. So in addition to your national duties, you're a Chicago guy. And we've tracked the Bears a little bit, and they've gone from being a nice story, weak schedule, it's going to catch up with them. I think everybody's got, you know, they've got everybody's attention. They went into Philadelphia. They just win. They kind of pummeled the Eagles. I mean, they kind of physically lined up and beat them up. And even though the Eagles right now are struggling to some degree, I didn't expect to see that, Adam. What did you think of the Bears' performance and with where they're at now? Of course, they're in a loaded division, but that win against the Eagles, we saw something from that team that makes or leads me to believe that they can line up and play with anybody.
I think that's fair. I think just about anybody is, you know, in their wheelhouse now in terms of level of competition. And that's not something I would have felt comfortable saying, you know, even a month ago, even a month and a half ago, I would not have felt comfortable saying something like that. But I think that's fair. And you said it. They manhandled Philadelphia. I thought that's as good as I've seen their offensive line play in years. You know, the way they've run the ball. And they've had some good running games over the course of the season this year. You know, Manungai has become like a nice addition, which is, you know, a lot, you know, great to say when you get a guy out of the seventh round. But, you know, this their win streak, you know, and I know they're 0-2 and they've only lost one game since, but, you know, the streak since they lost to Baltimore, where they got beat up by Baltimore's defense, and, you know, they're only able to, you know, put up 16 points in that game, and, you know, they just couldn't run the ball effectively. They really dedicated it to the running game since. You know, they ran for 280 against Cincinnati. They ran for, you know, 280 again against Philadelphia. I feel like that's where they want to be. They want to be physical. They want to be able to possess the football. They want to be in third and short. You know, this is a team that's been in so many third and longs over the years. You know, I just talk about the Justin Fields era and the start of Caleb Williams' tenure, and they're just getting sack after sack. And what was it? I think Caleb Williams was sacked something like 70 times, just shy of 70 times last year, and I think those numbers are way down this season. So, you know, obviously to be in third and short situations where you're not putting yourself at risk of an offense or of an opposing defense just bringing an extra body or pinning the ears back and just forcing you into tougher spots. I looked it up a couple minutes ago. He hasn't been sacked 20 times yet, and, you know, you only have 5 weeks left in the season. So just an incredible change and an incredible turnaround in that regard. And part of that isn't just offensive line. Mm-hmm. Part of that is the line. Part of that is play calling. Part of that is Caleb. You know, I remember Mark Schlereth always taught me that pass protection is made up of those three elements. It matters, obviously, what the line is doing. Are they in lockstep? Is the play call, you know, feasible when it comes to trying to hold up against whatever blitz package or pressure package that a defense is bringing? And then it's up to the quarterback. He's got to get the ball out of pressures there, and he's got to get through his reads, or he's got to get rid of the ball, or he's got to run and take off. And those things he's done, Caleb Williams has done significantly better. Obviously, Ben Johnson has done a great job with him. And even if the defense hasn't been great at times this year, I think it's still pretty talented. They've had injuries all season long, you know, especially on the back end. So for them to limit explosives for the most part, I think has been pretty impressive. This is a big weekend. Like, to, you know, this is going to feel like a big game. Two of the next three games they play are against Green Bay. This is the most, you know, the I think most buzz around this game.
That's right.
In probably 12 or 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even going back a little bit further. I mean, you got to go back to when Aaron Rodgers, you know, found Randall Cobb at Soldier Field on the last play of the game to beat Chicago, when both teams are kind of in the hunt for you know, major playoff spots. I think you got to go back probably 2012 or 2013 for the last time this game had this type of stock to it. And 2 weeks from now, they're going to be playing on a Saturday in primetime in Chicago. You know, that's going to be a wild theme. So I feel like there's a lot at stake in these next few weeks. So, you know, to beat Philadelphia gets people's attention. Now if you can beat a really good Green Bay team that's just coming off a win against a good Detroit team, and they're on a longer week, they've had a little extra rest because they played on Thanksgiving. Now it really feels real if you can beat a really quality team at Lambeau this week.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Of course, you cover the league. I'm more of a fan. But, boy, the storylines in this season are unbelievable. Patriots 11-2. We mentioned the Bears. Broncos 10-2, win every close game. And then I'm still fascinated by the AFC North because the Ravens and Steelers both are sitting there 6-6. And the division is so weak that because of Burrow coming back and what the Bengals were able to do to the Ravens at 4-8, I think there's some people think the Bengals may be the favorite in the division, Adam. It's nuts.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh are 6-6, and everybody's got a negative point differential at that division. And yeah, the Cincinnati's not out of it yet. You know, like, I think the Bengals still have to play a couple of division games, if I'm not mistaken. Like you said, I know they got Buffalo Sunday, but I think they play Baltimore again. They play Cleveland again. So, you know, their schedule is relatively light after this week. They got to go to Buffalo, but I think they got Baltimore home. You go to Miami. Miami is, you know, up and down. Arizona's not particularly great. Cleveland's not particularly great. You get a couple home games in there. So, yeah, Cincinnati's still got a legitimate shot to, you know, get to, what would it be? Get to 9 wins still.
Yeah.
And that's good enough to win the division. And by the way, like, that's kind of how the division has played out, you know, the last few years. Now, I know they had 3 playoff teams a couple of years ago, but it was a really competitive division, and not every whatever division you're in can't be all double digit win teams every single season. And you know, I know the NFC North was like that last year, the AFC North was like that a couple of years ago. It's not going to be like that all the time. So now you're getting teams beating up on each other. The Ravens had all these injury issues. Burrow's been out for forever, it feels like. So it's a race to the finish line, and yeah, the Bengals are right in it, believe it or not. I don't think they'll be a wild card, but more than likely to get an opportunity to win the AFC North, and I don't think anybody would have thought that, you know, even at the beginning of the season when they came out struggling.
It's crazy. Fascinating game in Baltimore with the Steelers and the Ravens, both 6-6, two of the longest tenured head coaches, obviously, in the league. And there's a feeling among both fan bases, because I've been reading up on both the temperature in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that maybe it's time for both these guys to move on, Harbaugh and Tomlin. And you know, Steelers just like a mess on offense right now. And the Ravens, Lamar's, you can tell he's not 100%. I thought Henry's running the ball well. They're just not getting him the football. I think he had 10 carries last week. You know, Bengals, yes, you covered it well, but you would think the winner of this game would have the inside track to the division. But this is a game where, you know, will somebody step up and play well, or, you know, these two teams just kind of, you know, lollygag it to the end. Somebody's going to have to win the game. But how do you see this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's faced each other more over the last, you know, 15 years, it feels like, than these two guys. I think I saw it's almost 40 meetings between two head coaches, you know, in Harbaugh and Tomlin. And I've never really felt like there was anybody other than Mike Tomlin that was right for that job since he took over. It just, I mean, they've had 3 coaches since like 69, you know, in Pittsburgh.
Remarkable. It's crazy.
Nice to me, you know, it's Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. That's it.
They all won Super Bowls.
Better part of all of them have Super Bowl titles. The better part of a half century. That's all they've had. And, you know, John Harbaugh has taken this team to heights they hadn't seen since they won, you know, Super Bowl back very early in this century. So I don't know. I feel those guys have been tailor-made for the positions. I think they've done a lot with the rosters that they've had, but I understand when you don't win a Super Bowl, when you're middling around 500 a couple of years, that's going to, you know, affect what your legacy is, perhaps. I think the frustrations have mounted a little bit, you know, but Mike has always been a guy that's going to get you over 500. Harbaugh has been a guy that's battled through a lot of different quarterback changes and things of that nature, a lot of injuries on his defenses over the years. It's hard for me to picture other guys there, but at some point, yeah, maybe the change has to be made. I always ask, who are you going to go get? Who's the guy that you're going to go get?
That's right. Convinced?
This is the next head coach.
That's the question.
This is the next great head coach. They're all going to be, you know, viable options. And as soon as, you know, this season is over, John's out of here, and we're going to go get candidate X because he's just going to be the next big thing. Or Tomlin's done, we're going to go get candidate Y because he's going to be the next big thing. I just don't see it right now. So until that time comes, I don't know who you bring in. And again, the nature of this league is so cyclical, and when you deal with some of the stuff that they're dealing with, it's not uncommon to have years like this, even during long successful runs. So I'm not convinced that they can have better options, but I understand that the frustrations are mounting a little bit with how they've played, obviously both right around 500.
Adam and me with us for a few more minutes talking NFL. I do want to talk a little NBA before we close it out. The Houston Texans defense, I know some good defense is still in the league, even though it's an offensive league, but they're scary. I mean, when you watch them, that front, man, I think they intimidate quarterbacks, man. This is a team that's, with Stroud back, they're one to watch, right, Adam?
I mean, this is one of the fun defenses to watch. They don't have to blitz a whole lot. I think, Danielle Hunter's been around for a long time. He's played a lot of really good football. Will Anderson's one of the great young players in this league, as you guys know. I think they've drafted incredibly well. I know SEC fans know Derek Stingley and what he's done. This Kamari Lassiter guy is really good. I think D'Amico's done an excellent job of obviously he has the personnel to be able to rush the passer without having to blitz a ton. And it just really confuses teams. It really confuses quarterbacks. They generate sacks. They generate turnovers. It's a really, historically good season for this group. And I think that this team can give a problem in the playoffs to one of the AFC, quote-unquote powerhouses. Mm-hmm. I think they can give New England's offense a problem. I think they give Indianapolis's offense a problem. I think they force Bo Nix into some tougher spots. I watched the Commanders-Broncos game back because, again, I'm prepping for Washington this weekend. And just watching Bo Nix, he's really hard to bring down, right? I just think he's an elusive, stand strong in the pocket.
Absolutely.
Type quarterback who moves well. And the Commanders had a lot of trouble getting to him. I think when you have a team like Houston that just kind of blows up the offensive lines that they're facing, that really provides a lot of problems. Those split seconds that quarterbacks like Bo, the time that they can use to try to maneuver and get a great pass out of there, despite some of the pressure and some of the issues in a pocket collapsing, these guys finish. And I think that's the biggest difference. This is a team that finishes on defense, and I think that's going to provide a problem. They make the postseason, and they get if you get the tough draw of having to play the Texans in, the opening round of the playoffs, I think that's a scary sight to see on the other side.
Yeah, I can't wait to Sunday night watching them get after Mahomes. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
All right, a couple minutes. I'm going to get the NBA, version of Mr. 3000, Bernie Mac movie. We had to lay down the sack, but LeBron last night, I mean, this is why he's one of the all-time greats. I mean, he's got a streak of 1,297 consecutive double-digit games. He's got the ball in his hands, final seconds, with a chance to not only win the game, but to get his double-digit streak and keep it intact. He draws the defense. He kicks it to Amachimura, three-pointer at the buzzer. Lakers win. And after the game, he was thrilled. And, that's what great players do. And he could have been selfish there and tried to draw contact or get the shot, but he made the right basketball play, Adam. So if you're going to have your streak snapped, that's the way to do it.
I mean, he's always done that, too. To his credit, he's always tried to make the right basketball play. And I think there's been a lot of criticism of that over time where – it's like, oh, well, LeBron doesn't want to take the big shot. He's taken plenty of big shots. I've seen it. I've called him. I've called big shots that he's taken. I know for a fact that the man has taken big shots. He's got a couple of playoff buzzer beaters. He's always – but he's always tried to make the right play knowing that he's probably going to be doubled. He's going to be attacked or blitzed by a defense late in the clock to try to get the ball out of his hands. So he accepts it and invites it so that he can set somebody up. And again, his teammates have to hit. His teammates haven't always hit the shot. And that's part of the criticism. It's like, well, he should take it. He's the best player. Well, he's the best player who's also trying to make the best play possible. And that was the best basketball play. And he said it last night, and he's like, that's always been my MO. And it's like, yeah, the proof is there. And it's up to other guys to make professional shots. And you're supposed to hit the corner three at a high rate. The shortest three-point shot in the NBA is 22 feet. You have to hit those shots. Guys work on that shot all the time. And Rui Hachimura, to his credit, made the shot. And that makes it a good result, but it was always the right basketball play, and I think LeBron has always tried to do that. It is an incredible run. He didn't look great the other night trying to keep that streak going, but I respect how that streak came to an end last night with how he made the right play.
I do, too, and the Lakers are playing great. All right, last night, Detroit, three more touchdowns by Gibbs. He has tied Barry Sanders for the most touchdowns in the first 3 years of the league. Detroit needed that one. Obviously, tough loss for Dallas, but the Lions, without Ben Johnson, it's been up and down on offense, but they looked good last night.
Very much so. And listen, Jahmyr Gibbs, like you said, he's one of the elite backs. And what he can do in the pass game, what he can do in the run game, he's just a truly, truly talented player. Listen, Dallas played well offensively. Mm-hmm. That's not surprising to me. But their defense has been a problem all year. They have not been able to limit explosive plays against any team. They have trouble against the Giants, for gosh sake, early in the season. Like, they've had a problem with that all year long. So, you know, for Detroit to gash them like they did, and then to hold up like they did, I still feel like we talked about at the top, the Cowboys have a real shot. Lions are still very much in the mix, you know, to be one of those three wild cards. They're a tough out no matter what. I know it hasn't been like the magical Dan Campbell season that, you know, people have come to expect the last couple of years, but he's taken over play calling duties. I think the offenses look sharper. Goff is still playing at a high level. They still have a very solid offensive line. I know they tried to get Frank Ragnow back, but they failed the physical. I know they don't have LaPorta right now. St. Brown's been in and out. But they have a supremely talented group. It's right up there with Detroit, with Philadelphia. It's right up there with Green Bay. It's right up there, you know, with San Francisco in terms of talent across the board and people that you can lean on to make big plays. So I'm not too worried about Detroit just because it's been a tough year in the NFC North. It was a tough year in the NFC North last year. They almost weren't the number one seed. You know, Minnesota, mm-hmm. you know, could have won that final game and been in that same position to win the division last year. So, you know, just because you're not going to get to 14 or 15 wins doesn't mean that, you know, it's not as good of a team. It's just a tougher conference. I think the conference in general has been much more entertaining this year. So I think people have kind of written off the Lions for those reasons. They still have a tendency to give up the big play on defense. I know it hasn't been as good of a defensive year, but I think with Aiden Hutchinson, you have talented pass rushers. They're going to be in just fine position come playoff time.
All right, Adam, 30 seconds. You don't get a marquee matchup every week when you do NFL play-by-play. Washington and Minnesota, two teams that had a lot of preseason expectations. Of course, injuries with the Commanders and Minnesota moved on from Sam Darnold. A lot of people questioning that move, but it's an important game to the two teams involved. And we know for guys that play in the National Football League, there's a lot of pride. And that's the matchup that you've drawn. How do you see it on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, 26 wins combined last year. They have 7, you know, with 5 weeks left. But the big thing for us is we more than likely, it looks like we're trending towards J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. And that's the biggest thing because they've had, you know, McCarthy's missed 7 games. Daniels missed 6 games this year due to various injuries. So, you know, it's good to get these guys back on. We asked Jaden, hey, you're out of the kind of race. The record's not what you want. Why is it important for you to play? And he said, well, I'm still young. I need the reps. I need to play. I still need opportunities to get better. And I want those chances. And I want to be out there with my teammates. And they're being leaders. I imagine if we ask J.J. McCarthy that question today when we talk with the Vikings, he's going to have a very similar answer. So I'm excited to see the young quarterback matchup. Yeah, it would have been great if the records were flipped. But, you know, this is what you get later in the year. The Fox slate isn't particularly great outside of the top 2 games. That's okay. It'll be fun. And then, you know, next week we'll see where we're doing San Francisco next week, a team that's fighting for a wild card spot. We'll, you know, maybe see the Chargers and Cowboys the week after. Maybe the Cowboys will be fighting for something. You know, that's kind of the life in the NFL when you're doing one of the regional games every week. But we had a great one last week. We'll have some fun this week. We'll have some good ones coming up the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
Great stuff, as always, from Adam Amin. All right, we're going to wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show. The Cure is going to take you out with Friday, I'm in Love. And when we come back in hour number 2, we'll be able to take some phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline. We're going to try to get to that Kalen DeBoer press conference from yesterday. And also, we've got Brody Smoot coming up with Alabama football recruiting at 10:30. The hour number 1 has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. It's in the books. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, Bolaños.
Thursday night football kicked off week 14 of the NFL, and the Lions outscored the Cowboys 44-30, where Jared Goff threw for 309 yards and a touchdown, while Dak Prescott threw for 376 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions. In the NBA, Rui Hachimura coming in clutch for the Lakers.
Just make sure you get the last shot in regulation.
Reeves. There he goes. Reeves to James. Kick it.
It on Lakers television from Spectrum Sportsnet. The final score against the Raptors, 123-120. Austin Reeves led the way with 44 points, but LeBron...
The only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for
active feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily
tax-deductible donation. Go online to EldridgeToyRun.com. The 23rd Annual Eldridge Toy Run, December 6th in Eldridge. Special thanks to Taylor Electrical.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cloudy sky today and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain, but the best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today 51, the low tonight 39. Cloudy tomorrow, and again, the best chance of rain to the south over South Alabama, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the air right here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris. Reed Karch is manning the controls, and Chase Brumfield helping us out as well. We're going to get to phone calls in just a moment. A reminder, tomorrow afternoon, SEC Championship game in Atlanta. I will be there, and we will have coverage tomorrow night on WVUA 23 News at 9. I remember, it's a 9 o'clock newscast now. And, of course, I guess, Reed, we'll have the Tide 109 pregame coverage, all that with the Crimson Tide Sports Network and with Matt Coulter and company as well tomorrow. So all day coverage here on Tide tomorrow before the big game as the Tide tries to bring home a 31st SEC championship. Right now, we're going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and get the calls. We got the Sheriff Tom and then Cowboy, two of our faves that we're going to get to. Tom's going to lead us off in this second hour. Hey, Tom.
Gary, how are you this morning? I'm calling back in from yesterday. We kind of skirted over the lawsuit NASCAR's got going on with 2311 and Front Row Racing. And that thing has turned into one of the most fascinating stories I've ever seen with NASCAR at the center.
Yeah, I researched it a little bit last night after I told you that I would. And I think the whole future of the circuit as far as how business operates is dependent on what happens in this lawsuit. There's no doubt.
You're
about
exactly
it.
Right. 2311
has basically filed the antitrust case and alleged that it's a monopoly and that it the take it or leave it nature of the charter agreements the teams must sign to compete are, you know, like I said, a monopoly and unfair and limit earnings and limit revenue for the teams and also limits how much control the individual teams have and how different organizations and teams get into NASCAR racing. So I'll be honest with you, Tom. I know you want my opinion, and I'll let you give yours. I'm kind of a company guy. I know that sounds crazy because I'm an independent contractor on the radio show, and I work for, you know, and I am looking to benefit my brand, but I like organization. I like rules. I think they're important. I think structure is important. I think we're starting to see that now in college sports without structure, all the things that can happen. So, and I don't know when there's going to be a decision made here. I'll ask you. You probably know more about that than I do. But I'm kind of pulling for NASCAR here. And it goes against my gut because I do think that NASCAR is a monopoly to some degree. And I do think this 2311 lawsuit has a lot of traction. But I'm afraid of what might happen to the entire racing NASCAR landscape if NASCAR loses, Tom.
Well, you nailed it on the NASCAR side somewhat, but, you know, Front Row and 2311, particularly Bob Jenkins, you're familiar with Bob's story all the way through, I'm sure. And, you know, he's been in racing for several years. Bob's done well financially. He owns 250 restaurants, you know, KFC, Taco Bell, those type restaurants.
A lot of money.
He's got 250 of those, and his kids own John Silver. And that all came out when Bob went on the stand yesterday, and here's what it's done. The charter is the vehicle that 2311 and Front Row is riding to revamp the business model of NASCAR.
Right.
That Michael Jordan, let me tell you how serious this is. Michael Jordan spent $40 million on the defense team.
Jeez.
$40 million assembling these high-powered law firms. And I mean, they bad to the freaking bone. Don't you sell yourself short. And then, of course, Mr. Jim Brandt has done the same thing on their side. And so it started out, just to give you an idea of what this battle's really about, the nuts and bolts of it. It started out with the 2311 lawyer going after NASCAR saying the monopoly, like you said.
Yeah, and everything I do think there's a monopolistic side of this.
They countered that thing. They said, Denny Hamlin, how much did you make last year driving a race car?
Yeah.
He said $14 million. They said that's a good monopoly.
Yeah. Well, and, I think some of the lawsuit, is stuff as simple as supplier control. You know, NASCAR dictates who the teams can buy parts from, and obviously the teams feel like they can generate more revenue. And I think 2311 is arguing that they're forced to accept anti-competitive terms. So basically, they just want to free it up. And I just don't know how that's when is a decision in the case expected to come down?
Well, there's so many contradictory statements by 2311. For example, we don't think that NASCAR is being fair. This is not fair. The charter system is not fair. 13 teams signed the charter deal for 2025. And I mean 2026. But now, the Denny Hamlin, he got on the stand and said, well, we can't make no money. We can't do this, that, and the other. NASCAR comes back, and this is just to give you an example of where the lines are being drawn. They go, didn't you build a $35 million facility outside of Charlotte called Airspeed? He goes, yeah. He said, but we ain't got enough money to employ. We're having to contract employees from Joe Gibbs Racing to do what we got to do. You ought to see the stuff that's in that building at Airspeed. If they think that NASCAR ain't good, if NASCAR ain't fair, if they're not going to be able to NASCAR, why would they go build a building with all this high-tech engine stuff and aerodynamics all in one building and spend $35 million and then sue them, tell them that this model ain't working? See, there's so much contradiction going on between 2311 and NASCAR.
Oh, sure there is. That's why we're at where we're at. I guess I'm asking.
I got a feeling Michael Jordan is not somebody that's used to lose.
Well, I understand that. My question to you is, since you followed it a lot closer than I have, when do we expect there to be a decision.
Well, the judge yesterday stood up and got on to it. Well, let me tell you about the judge. It's
all right, quick, because I got to get to some other people now.
Okay, well, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you later.
No, no, tell me about the judge real quick.
The judge told him that he wanted this wrapped up in 2 weeks.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
They on the third witness now. And then he come back this morning. He said, this better be, you better get moving. Because this, all you do is run around a circle chasing your tail. I want to hear some answers, and we're going to get this thing done in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, that's what I was getting at. Hey, thank you, Tom. Good stuff.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, let's get to Cowboy before we hit the break. Hey, Cowboy.
Hey, well, I kind of got the gist of some of my questions yesterday. But, you know, you said you were a company guy. I'm kind of an entrepreneurial thinking.
Well, I'm going to go into what I'm going to say. Okay.
Kind of a maverick thinker, you know, kind of outside the box, do things kind of different than everybody else. So what Michael Jordan probably here is doing is kind of what Jerry Jones did in the 90s to the NFL when they had that big contract with Coca-Cola, and he says, I own the team. I got the right to have a certain kind of soft drink sponsor my team that I want. You remember they got in a big deal?
I know you
about
got
that.
Pepsi, yeah.
And Nike and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Jerry won, and now he's made the league so much money by thinking outside the box and not being the company man. He's considered one of the greatest entrepreneurs in U.S., and we're not talking about coaching or what he does with that. We're talking about making money for teams, and Jerry got the example going in the league, and now the thing is just skyrocketed into money-making. So what Michael Jordan is trying to do is, why can't he buy a part from where he wants to buy it for his team? That, to me, makes sense. If it's my money, why can't I buy it from Napa instead of O'Reilly's? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
here?
I do.
So Michael is thinking outside the box, and he will make Denny Hamlin maybe more money in the long run.
Yeah, I see your point, and I'm not anti entrepreneurial at all. Like I said, I'm looking out for myself. I'm trying to get the best, but I also understand, you know, structure. You know, it's the same thing in you know, it's why you have politics and rules. And, you know, we don't want anarchy in the world, and you know, you don't want a organization that has been as effective as NASCAR has just to be done away with. I mean, so
I don't think
they're not literally going to do away with it, but they're trying to. This 2311 lawsuit is trying to strip NASCAR. You know, it's just like, yeah, you can be an entrepreneur, but when you agree to join an organization or you work for someone, there is an understanding that you operate under the rules in which they lay those rules out. That's just that's part of it. And right. As Tom pointed out, it's not like these teams aren't making money. It's not like Denny Hamlin didn't make $14 million last year. So be careful what you wish for.
Michael Jordan owns his organization of the team. He's paying NASCAR the franchise fee, so he should be able to buy his parts for his cars where he wants to buy them.
Not necessarily. He can't because
I don't agree with that.
There are rules that the organization, NASCAR, the governing body, has, and you agree to that, and you buy the parts from where, you know, that's the way it's done. Yeah, you could file a lawsuit, which is what they've done to try to change that.
Right.
But you can't just change them on your own. You can't just say, well, I'm going to buy parts somewhere else. You can't do that. That's not the rules. That's why there's a lawsuit.
No, that's right. And you want to bet who wins this lawsuit?
I don't want to bet because I don't know who's going to win it.
Well, I would say Jordan them, because, you know, he's got a precedent where the NFL was doing it away, and Jerry Jones broke up that monopoly.
Well, I don't know enough about the differences in the two suits to be able to compare the two. I mean, but I know this right now. I don't know who's going to win this lawsuit. I don't. So we'll see. Yeah. And you know, and whoever wins it, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, but on to football.
Okay.
Is Russ Probst going to win another state championship today?
I suspect he will. I think they're probably the favorite. Although, you know, Wadley lost last night to Maplesville, so got a little rematch there from last year. And but I like Coosa Christian tonight or today.
Yeah, do you know much about that school? Is it just a little private school?
It's been around a long time. I do know a little bit about it. Coosa Christian's been around a long time, and they've been reformed and kind of reworked a few times, and now to the point where they're power, because you know they bring in a guy like Russ Probst, they're spending some money, and but they've been around, that school's been around a long time, and they've kind of reformed themselves a few times. You know, one, they were a private school for a long time.
Oh, did it used to be Westbrook?
It was Coosa Christian. Coosa Christian's been around a long time there in the Gadsden area, but it was a private school for many, many years. And I don't know if they completely did away with football for a while or not, but they, you know, they're back now, and they're playing for a state championship.
Well, you know, Russ Probst is just an interim head coach. Will he get an interim state championship?
I don't know. I couldn't. That cowboy, I can't even. So he still has an interim title?
Yeah, you remember the state, the AHSAA suspended the coach for something he did that was, and Probst took over on an interim basis. Remember going into the season?
Yeah, but I think they removed that interim tag. I think he's getting credited as the head coach. You call in and hit me with so many different things. I can't track them all. But I think he's
Jerry, you're a sports guy.
He's the coach. He's the coach of record for who else can you call in on a show in Alabama and talk Coosa Christian high school football with? Honestly, I'm probably the only
nobody
one.
Nobody but you, buddy.
You're probably the only one.
You know what? I used to not have to call and ask them any questions about high school ball. You could read AL.com. They didn't even give the score of the Thompson Opelika
behind the paywall.
They just had pictures of
behind the paywall. Yeah,
I mean it's horrible.
Yeah, that's everybody's trying to get. But anyway. Well, I can tell you this, Thompson beat the heck out of Opelika, and Moody beat the heck out of Viger last night, which surprised me, shut them out. Hey, I got to hit this break, Cowboy.
All right, be good, buddy.
Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff as always, buddy. All right, we got to get to the break here, 10:21. We're going to come back and get Cam on. If Cam hadn't hung up on us, at the bottom of the hour, you got Brody Smoot with recruiting. And, no, I enjoy the back and forth. That's not a problem. But I can, if I'm going to take it, I can also give it. All right, we'll be back after this.
Now, this hour is West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. While recent rains have rolled back the area covered by drought in West Alabama, ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Benn tells us it's still here.
Drought conditions continue. There is a D3 extreme drought for parts of West Central Alabama.
Dry conditions are expected to persist through the winter, spurred by a pilot project at Stillman College New Schools for Alabama, making it...
Will Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Track there, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Fried Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus, R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cloudy sky today and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain, but the best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today 51, the low tonight 39. Cloudy tomorrow, and again, the best chance of rain to the south over South Alabama, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
Sweet DJs, fog machines, and laser rays. Look out, weekend, cause
here. All right, look out, weekend, and since high school football came up, let me run that down, all of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Super 7 scores and schedule. It started off Wednesday night with Thompson in Class 7A putting a whipping on Opelika 48-10. Thompson wins another state championship. Then yesterday we had 1A, 3A, and 5A in Class 1A. Maplesville got payback. They lost to Wadley last year, but Maplesville beat Wadley 42-22 in the Class 1A championship game to go 15-0 in Class 3A. It was Mars Hill Bible taking care of Bayside Academy 38-21, and in Class 5A, Moody shut out Vigor 25-0. Today, beginning at 11 a.m., we've got Class 4A, Jackson taking on Anniston. Of course, Jackson, E.J. Crowell, the running back that signed with Alabama, the five-star, that great Jackson team, taking on 14-0 Anniston. Jackson's got a couple losses, but remember, they played a very ambitious schedule. 3 p.m. in Class 2A, we mentioned Coosa Christian and Russ Probst taking on Lynette for the championship. Then it wraps up tonight. This ought to be a doozy tonight. In Class 6A, 13-0 Saraland, 14-0 Clay Chalkville. I mean, that's the best game on paper of the entire state championship run. What a way to close it out tonight. Now, we got football weather this week. We don't have the warm temperatures that we've had most all fall. We got football weather. It's cold. It's overcast. It's gloomy. So, but a big day of high school football on tap over in Birmingham as all the games are being played this year at Protective Stadium there in Birmingham's Uptown District. All right, it's 10:28. Let me remind you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, because if you are experiencing fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They can help you, whether you're dealing with any of those or all of those. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. It's an easy plan. I know, I've been through it. Step one, complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Step two, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. And step three, begin your customized treatment plan. You don't have to be tired. You don't have to feel run down. You can get that little extra oomph by going to Game Day Men's Health. Get back in the game. Go to Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. We're going to come back with Brody Smoot talking Bama football recruiting next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours of
chicken fingers and pints of our famous house-made sauces. Please Please any crowd with the easiest party upgrade of the season. Order at FooSackleys.net or the Foo app.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013 or biglou.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Show. It's time to talk some Bama football recruiting with Brody Smoot from Crimson Coverage. Alabama signed 20 football players on Wednesday, then added one yesterday, a late signee, running back Trayshawn Brown out of Huntsville, Texas. So let's get Brody Smoot on here from Crimson Coverage to talk about this class. Hey, Brody, good morning.
Good morning to you, Gary.
Hey, what do you think about it? Signed 20 on Wednesday, added a running back yesterday. After they lost a kid to Illinois. So overall, this looked like a top three type class to you?
For sure. You know, this is definitely a top three, top five caliber class, headlined by several five stars and then a nice complimentary cast. Lost several guys on signing day, but that was kind of expected. From the coaching staff's standpoint, and they were able to pick up two guys that a lot of people hadn't heard of, Malik Franklin and Trayshawn Brown, to close out the class sort of, and still got a chance to get one today. Bryson Cooley, the four-star offensive lineman, mm-hmm. out of Mississippi, that's currently committed to LSU. So I think that this coaching staff's done a great job in this cycle, especially recruiting in the trenches and getting some five-star power at the skill position. So I would say that this coaching staff's done a great job in the 26th cycle for sure.
All right, so five stars in this class, several of them. Let me get the highlights from you. Who headlines the class?
I think first off, you got to look at Xavier Crowell out of Jackson, Alabama. You're talking about a guy that has ran for over 2,000 yards this year, was just named Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Alabama, looking to help his school win their second straight state championship, later today. He's a guy that, everybody wanted. Auburn, Texas, Georgia. Alabama was able to keep him around. He actually reclassified. So kind of a similar situation to Ryan Williams, a guy that's coming in a little bit early. But I feel like, he's ready. And the running game is an area that Alabama has kind of, had its, peaks and valleys and had some struggles with, as of late. So being able to bring him in, I think that adds the competition next year. I think he could be a guy that plays from day one. And then looking elsewhere, you look at Sadarian Morgan, receiver out of Benjamin Russell. He's a guy that's 6'4", 210. He played the slot a lot at Benjamin Russell, but he's going to be playing on the outside, at Alabama, probably in a similar role. Is Isaiah Horton. He's got that big frame, good speed. So those guys on offense, and then defensively, you got Xavier Griffin and Jordan Edmonds, out of that North Georgia area. Griffin, a linebacker that Coach DeBoer compared to Jahad Campbell. He's a guy that was recruited by Texas and Florida State, Georgia, several other schools that were big. Expect for him to definitely see, an opportunity to see the field early, with Alabama losing three of its top linebackers to the draft. And then Jordan Edmonds, the kid out of Sprayberry High School in Marietta area. You know, he's long, kind of similar to Dejon Lee. I expect him to play early. You know, I think he'll be a guy that plays, you know, one of those boundary corners. You know, he may not have a starting role, but he'll definitely be in the mix. And then, yeah, that's pretty much the five stars they got, as well as Jarae Edwards out of Baltimore, Maryland. He's a hard-hitting safety. You know, you can play him at linebacker or safety. I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and play immediately as well.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned as good as this class is, you know, finding a couple of diamonds in the rough. And I think Malik Franklin certainly fits that category. I mean, played for Kenny King down at Daphne, former Alabama All-SEC defensive lineman, NFL defensive lineman. And, you know, one of these late growth spurts, you know, put him on offensive line. He moved him to defensive line, 6'6", around 250, and he just blossomed this year. This is one of those guys that, you know, his best football is in front of him, but really a nice pickup, I think, for Alabama to, of course, Kenny King, you know, being his coach, certainly I know he made Alabama aware of him, but this is one of those guys that, you know, he doesn't have the star rating, three-star, but you may look back in a couple, 3 years and say, man, what a pickup.
Oh, for sure. You know, like you said, a guy that had a growth spurt and playing in the, you know, in class 7A down there at Daphne High School, which is known to produce some players, especially in the past. They've done a great job of producing talent there. But Malik Franklin, you know, a guy that's 6'5", 250, you know, he could play. You know, he could play as an edge guy, you know, or they could bump him inside in the future. You know, I think he's one of those guys that you just, you know, you kind of have to wait and see how his frame works out and things like that. But he's a guy that could definitely help you, a guy that projects well, you know, along Alabama's defensive line with how they – like to rotate players in and out. I think he'll be a guy that could see some time next year, if not next year, the next year after that as a redshirt freshman. But I definitely think he's a guy that Alabama really liked and, you know, a guy that they had been, you know, keeping their eye on for quite a while, given the fact that J.J. Finch was a little, wishy-washy, I guess, so to say. Between Alabama and Tennessee. So, you know, Franklin was a guy that they really liked, and they were able to get him to sign. So I know that the coaching staff was really excited to get him in the fold and sign him.
Couple more minutes with Brody Smoot talking Alabama football recruiting. Of course, you sign these classes, Brody, you get them enrolled early, and then, of course, it's so different now. You see how many guys are left in 2 or 3 years because, obviously, they're re-recruited a lot of times in the portal. Guys don't get playing time. They are more apt to leave than to hang in there. But overall, this class, it feels like you mentioned some of those secondary guys, really a lot of top flight corners and safeties. Got some defensive linemen, obviously a five-star running back, five-star receiver. It feels like it's got good symmetry to it. In other words, it feels like across the board, a couple of offensive linemen, as you said, may add Cooley today. It feels like this class is balanced, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Is that your perception?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's the word that comes to mind for me when I think of this class is balanced. You know, it all starts up front. You know, I know, you know, last year and in years past, you look at it and you go, all right, well, Alabama's got all these skilled guys. Where are the guys in the trenches? Well, this coaching staff certainly addressed those areas this year. You know, you're looking to close out with five offensive linemen. I already signed five defensive linemen. And then, like you said, you know, you got guys that in the secondary that are top-end players at receiver and then running back. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Jet Tamalik, quarterback, you know, who I met with the way the quarterback situation is going to be next year. You know, it's unknown right now. So to have a guy like him, an Elite 11 finalist, come into the fold, that's huge. And I just think that this class has a lot of potential. I think you look at a lot of guys that have an opportunity to play. You know, I know that Alabama has a lot of guys that are, you know, getting ready to graduate or declare for the draft. So, you know, it's huge and vastly important to have a, you know, a well, well-balanced class, and I think that Alabama did a great job of doing that in this cycle on both sides of the ball.
And lastly, Brody, you do team coverage as well for Alabama football and men's basketball and baseball, and other sports too. But your feelings on tomorrow afternoon's SEC championship game between Alabama and Georgia over in Atlanta?
You know, I feel pretty good about it. You know, given Alabama's you know, history and the way that they played against Georgia this year, it just seems like Alabama's you know, they've had Georgia's number in the past, you know, 10 or 11 meetings, and it seems like they play their best ball against Georgia. So you know, I know that Alabama will be down a couple guys, you know, especially LT Overton and Kelby Collins being out. I think that doesn't help, because Georgia, you know, they ran the ball tremendously well against Alabama the last time the two met up in Athens earlier this season. But Georgia's down a couple people as well. You know, I look for Ty Simpson to kind of make a statement. You know, I know that Alabama's offensive line blocks particularly well against Georgia in the past, you know, and I look for them to have a big game as well. You know, hopefully get Ryan Williams involved, get him back in the mix, and, you know, see where things go from there. But I think that Alabama's offense will be too much for Georgia's defense. You know, I know that Georgia's offense struggled last week, and with them being out, with them being without their starting center, Drew Bobo, you know, I think that hurts them even more. You know, I think that Alabama's offense is just going to be too much to handle in the end.
Awesome update, Brody, and let everybody know where they can find your coverage.
Yes, sir. You can find me on X at Crimson Coverage.
Appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, 10:44, some breaking news from the NFL, not what we wanted to hear. We knew that Brian Branch went down last night against the Cowboys, and according to ESPN, tests this morning confirmed that the star defensive back out of Alabama has a torn Achilles. And that is a injury that is a rough one for an athlete, and means obviously he's out the rest of this season, including the postseason, and could be out, you know, part of next season. You just don't know with these Achilles. And yeah, that's a bad one. And he's a key cog for them on defense, one of their best defensive players. Ouch. So hate to hear that. Also, this tidbit, and we knew this was going to happen, Ross Dellinger reporting that the SEC presidents have voted to increase the number of maximum scholarships in football from 85 to 105. Could have done it this season, but they stayed at 85. They're now permitted, as part of the House settlement, to go to 105, and I don't know what that's going to do for walk-ons. I really don't. If you got 105 scholarship players, could be less needs for walk-ons. But I remember when I was growing up that one time there was it was at 115, then it was at 105, so it's been done in the past. It might have been, I think, in the 60s at one time, there might have not even been a limit to scholarships available. All right, 10:45 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner. And on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Texas Roadhouse opens up at 11 a.m. for lunch. And you know what? It's really good. And I got to give away some more of those $25 gift cards. I'm giving away an answer. We'll do that. We'll do that here coming up. But Texas Roadhouse open at 11 a.m. for lunch here in Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to come back. We're not going to get to Kalen DeBoer. I had hoped we'd get to the press conference from yesterday, but we're going to take our phone calls. We got Ellis and Corey and Trustful that we'll hear from when we come back on the other side of this timeout. The TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show rolls on right after this. Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy...
Saturday, we are also doing a double jackpot up to $5,000. What they do that in? Bama Entertainment Holiday Extravaganza. Take exit 45 on 2059. Sponsored by Red.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is headed to Atlanta again and play fast.
It's the Crimson. Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
And options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A cloudy sky today and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain, but the best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today 51, the low tonight 39. Cloudy tomorrow, and again, the best chance of rain to the south over South Alabama, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 100.9 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Just when things went right, doesn't mean they were always wrong.
All right, winding it down for another Friday edition of the Gary Harris Show, getting you ready for the weekend, but we've got some phone calls to get to. Ellis in Tennessee and Corey in Trustful. Hey, Ellis, good morning.
Woo, Gary Harris, what's going on?
Oh, man, been full of energy and juice this morning.
Well, I am, too, from yesterday and today with all the positive vibes about Alabama, with all these people that Ryan had on yesterday and the people that you've had on. I mean, it's how can you not be positive?
That's right. You cover it. I mean, when you're a fan of the Crimson Tide, I mean, there's a lot more positive than negatives. That's for sure, Ellis.
Oh, for sure. And I'm in the positive big time. I think we're going to go over there and take care of business and kick the bull puppies down and come back with a SEC championship for Kalen DeBoer's first championship. So,
well, that would be first for Kalen and number 31 for the Crimson Tide. How about that?
Yeah, ain't you about getting tired of saying 30, though? It's time that you say 31.
Well, we can say it tomorrow afternoon if the Tide takes care of business.
Well, we're going to take care of business. I'm a believer, Gary Harris, so I'll be watching it from the house. I ain't going over there. So, but... That's what it's all about.
Give me your score prediction.
I'm going to go with 35-21.
I hear you, my friend. I'll take that right now. I'll take 35-21 and won't even drive over there. If you tell me we get 35-31, I'll just go ahead and shut it down. Sounds good, Ellis.
Roll Tide, Gary Harris.
Roll Tide. All right, let's get to – before we do that, I do want to – I may have mentioned it earlier, but my SEC point spread predictions came to an end last week with a 7-3 week. I'm 63-48 on the season. It's pretty good. And I do have, for the record, I think everybody knows that I got Georgia 24, Alabama 21. But I hope I'm eating crow on Monday, like I said, whether it's fried, sautéed, baked, broiled, however. I hope I'm tasting it. All right, let's close out the show with Corey and Trustful. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
So I'm a little confused on something here. Kalen DeBoer said that LT Overton has some kind of illness, but I've heard from a different show that it's more serious than an illness. I'm a little. Do you have any additional information to pass on?
You know, I don't, and I'm not going to, because I don't like to speculate. And I'm not getting on you, Corey, at all. I mean, you have every right to do, but I don't. Unless I know something when it comes to illness or an injury or anything like that, I stay away from it. I don't have anything else to pass along. I just hope that, you know, all works out.
If it is an illness, that's the best we can hope. I mean, not that we want him sick, but we don't want it. We don't want it to be anything serious.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I just don't know. So I'm not going to speculate. And, you know, and Kelby Collins was put on the – he's out as well. I mean, obviously, my mind is thinking, could it, you know, be a number of things. But all I know is they're not playing on Saturday afternoon. And that's a hit. I mean, those, you know, you could argue that LT Overton and Tim Keenan are your two best defensive linemen. You could be out with one of them. Kelby Collins transferred in for Florida. formerly Gardendale High School, has made an impact. So Alabama's shorthanded up front tomorrow. That's just the reality of it. So, but as far as what's wrong or when they'll be back or any of that, I just don't know.
Do you see anything happening tomorrow that could catch your attention tomorrow?
Do I see anything happening that could catch my attention? Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Ty Simpson throwing that football down the field the way he was earlier this season. I'd like to see some big chunk plays in the passing game, and I'm not talking about yards after the catch plays. I'm talking about with the ball in the air. Ryan Williams was a non-factor at Auburn. We know that. I'd love to see him get behind that Georgia defense and Ty Simpson hit him. I'd like to see some big plays in the passing game for Alabama. Even though they ran the ball better against Auburn, we don't know what Jam Miller's status is. I don't think you can count on consistently running the ball against Georgia. I hope they do run it well. But early in the game, some play action and take some shots down the field. I mean, Alabama's become kind of a dink and dunk type of offense here over the last several weeks. And I'd like to see them take some shots.
I wouldn't mind a 3-touchdown performance from Ty Simpson. I mean, you don't have to go crazy against Georgia. Just kind of like do what you did in the Iron Bowl. Just have a steady performance and have a few touchdown passes and really soften up the defense for Georgia, because they're going to stack the box and dare Ty Simpson to throw and make some plays. And good gosh, have Ryan Williams come back. I mean, where's he been the last few weeks? I mean, if we can get him back in the game, it'll really help and get him some confidence for the playoffs, because, you know, if we can get him going, it'll add another weapon. And then I feel good about this game. I'm going 31-24. I just think Alabama's got Georgia's number, and I don't see it changing.
Well, buddy, I hope you're right, and you've had a pretty good feel for it. So I'll trust your judgment better than mine. As I said, I'm more or less just picking Georgia because it's in Atlanta, even though that has not been a problem for Alabama in the past. And Alabama is very, very, very banged up going into this game. But we've seen the Tide rise up before, and I certainly hope they do on tomorrow afternoon. Hey, thank you, Corey. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
All right. We're winding it down. I do see one call coming in, and if we have a call, we'll try to squeeze one more in. Reed is trying to get the info right now. If this is for me, then if it's for me, we gotta get them on. Reed, they got to tell them they're gonna have to. If they want to talk to me, they're gonna have to get on. All right, let's get Pat on real quick. All right, Pat, you got about a minute, man. So you got to tie it all up in a nice little bow.
Quick, man. Keys to this thing is my man AK Deer gets $1 million endorsement for John Deere tractors, because nothing runs like a deer.
I hope you're right. Hey, that would be a great storyline there, Pat. AK Deere goes crazy, touches, and then John Deere signs him up.
15 touches for 150 yards, and we win the ball game running away.
So that's what you're saying, AK Deere, 15 touches for 150 yards?
Yep.
Well, that'd be a storyline. That'd be the story of the season right there. And then, like you said, he probably would ink a deal with John. Ink a deal with John Deere if he has a performance like that.
Ain't nothing runs like a deer. It's just made for TV.
All right, my friend.
Have a blessed one, sir.
Thank you, Pat. All right, roll tight. Good way to close out the show right there. Pat says, AK Deere, rarely used freshman running back out of Quitman, Mississippi, who is skilled now. I have no doubt. I've watched enough of him this year to see he's got the instincts. Watched him in high school. Terrific running back. I think there's a lot of other reasons that, you know, freshman running backs don't always play. But if you get the ball in his hands, but if something happens, he touches it 15 times, it goes for 150 yards, then I do think Alabama will win the football game. That would be unbelievable. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gary Harris Show and for this week. And a reminder that catch me on the local news, doing the news on WVOA 23, not doing the sports for a while at 5 and 9 tonight. But I will be in Atlanta tomorrow for the SEC Championship game. We'll have coverage tomorrow night on WVOA 23 News at 9, and then again Sunday night as well. I'll be back here Monday to recap the weekend. We'll know if Alabama is the SEC champion. We'll also know their spot in the playoff because the rankings, the final rankings, come out Sunday. So we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday. So I'm looking forward to visiting with you then. All right, for Reed Karch and Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day and a great weekend.